Hi, this is Phil Frost from Main Street ROI, and welcome to this audio training called How to Create a Customer Vending Machine, the Small Business Owner's Guide to Google AdWords. On this CD, you're going to learn 4 reasons why you should be advertising on Google, several common and costly AdWords mistakes to avoid, the 10-step formula to create a profitable AdWords campaign from scratch, and advice about managing your ads in-house versus hiring a company to do it for you. But first, you may be wondering, who is this guy, and why should you be listening to me when it comes to Google AdWords? Well, let me just take a few minutes to give you a little background in case we haven't met. As I said, my name is Phil Frost, and my company, Main Street ROI, provides online marketing training and tools for small businesses. Our motto is online marketing made simple. We take online marketing topics like Google AdWords, and we condense our best practices into step-by-step training programs so it's easy for you to take action and get results. And what makes me qualified to teach you about Google AdWords? Well, I've been managing Google AdWords campaigns for many years, beginning in 2006. Since that time, I've personally managed more than $5 million in AdWords advertising, and I continue to manage more than $150,000 in AdWords advertising each and every month. I'm also a Google AdWords certified professional. I am in regular contact with representatives at Google, and I'm part of their private group of beta testers where I get to test out their new advertising technologies before they release it to the general public. To sum it up, I've got lots of experience. I know what works and what doesn't, so you're definitely in good hands getting your AdWords advice from me. So let's get started by talking about why you should advertise in Google or anywhere else for that matter. The obvious reason to advertise is to attract new customers. But beyond that, the best reason to advertise is to gain greater control over the flow of new customers to your business. If you're like most business owners, right now you're getting most of your new customers from word-of-mouth referrals. And that's both a good thing and a bad thing. I say it's a good thing because it's a sign that your business treats your customers well. But it's also a bad thing because it's a sign that your business growth is potentially vulnerable. The problem with referrals is that they're really out of your control. Yes, you can influence referrals, but you really can't control them on a day-to-day basis or predict them with any real certainty. On the other hand, advertising can give you control over the flow of new customers. When you do it right, advertising can deliver new customers to your business almost like a vending machine. You put a dollar into advertising, and your advertising delivers you customers in return. And that's why I've named this training How to Create a Customer Vending Machine, the Small Business Owner's Guide to Google AdWords. All right, so why should you focus on Google AdWords? Here are the 4 reasons why I recommend you start with AdWords search engine advertising. Reason number 1, search engine advertising is the easiest to make work. When people are searching for the services you offer, they're already interested. You don't have to convince them that they should buy what you offer. You just need to convince them to buy from you instead of your competitors. So it's an easier sale than other types of advertising where you have to interrupt your prospect and convince her to pay attention to you. Reason number 2, search engine advertising works fast. Search engine advertising is the fastest way to reach customers who are ready to buy, and Google has the largest share of search engine traffic. Once you set up your ads in Google, you can start getting clicks within minutes. And reason number 3, you can start small. Another great reason to use Google AdWords is because you can make very small, low-risk investments. With AdWords, you'll only pay when people click on your ads, and that's why it's called pay-per-click, or PPC, advertising. You can start small by spending as little as $10 or $20 per day, and then reinvest your profits as you go, so there's very little risk to get started. And finally, reason number 4, it's dependable. With search engine advertising, there's always a new flow of customers searching. And so once you get a campaign working, you can typically depend on it to keep delivering new customers month after month. Now, I'm not suggesting you can set it and forget it. I recommend you continually monitor and manage your campaigns. But when you get a campaign working for you, it's a very valuable asset for your business. Okay, let's dive into the 10-step formula we use here at Main Street ROI to create profitable Google AdWords campaigns from scratch. These are the exact steps we take every time we create a new AdWords campaign. And this formula will work for you too if you just follow the steps. So let's get started. Step number 1, create your plan of attack. the first thing you need is a plan. During this first step, you'll pick the services or products you're going to advertise. You'll set your goal for how many clients you want to attract, and you'll set your initial test advertising budget. I know you're probably eager to get to the nuts and bolts and specific how-to tactics, but if you skip this step, you'll probably fail to achieve your goals. Without a goal and a clear plan to achieve it, you're like a ship that has set sail without a destination. When it comes to planning, the biggest mistake we business owners make is failing to allocate advertising dollars in alignment with marketing goals. Instead of advertising all aspects of your business equally, you should really prioritize your advertising dollars based on what will generate the greatest return on your investment, or ROI. This is especially important if you have several different services or products you may want to advertise. For example, we recently analyzed the campaign of a real estate company in Manhattan that was spreading its advertising budget equally across several areas of its business. When we asked the CEO what her goals were, she said she wanted to expand just one key area. This one key area is where the company earns the majority of its profits, and that's where she saw the greatest opportunity for continued growth. However, when we looked at where the company was spending its money in AdWords, the money was not being allocated toward this key service area. Instead, roughly two-thirds of the budget was being spent on another category, and that ad spend was actually unprofitable. Simply by shifting the focus of its advertising, the company was able to achieve its goal within just a few months. As you can see, by asking a few simple questions at the beginning of the process, you can dramatically improve the profitability of your advertising and make sure you're achieving your key business goals. That's why it's so important to do a little planning beforehand. During this initial planning phase, answer the following questions. If you had to choose to advertise just one of your products or services, which is your top priority? How many customers do you want to attract on a monthly basis? And how much can you afford to spend in advertising in order to acquire one new customer? Based on your answers to these questions, you can determine what your initial marketing budget should be and what key metrics you should be watching, so you launch your advertising with confidence and clarity about your goals. And we'll talk more about selecting your budget when it's time to set up your campaign in step 8. Once you've got your plan of attack in place, the next step is to identify who is your ideal customer so you can attract him or her to your business. So step number 2 is to attract your ideal customer. During this step, you'll uncover the exact words people are using to shop for your services in Google. This step is also known as keyword research. If you skip this step or don't do it right, you won't get the exposure you need. Your customers won't find you and they'll go to your competitors instead. Google provides a free tool called the Google AdWords Keyword Tool to help you identify the most commonly searched keyword phrases. In case you haven't used it yet, you can find the tool by searching the phrase keyword tool in Google, and it'll be the first result in Google. The keyword tool acts much like a thesaurus. You enter in phrases and Google tells you which relevant phrases people are searching for in Google. Google will also tell you how often people search these phrases and how much it'll cost to advertise on each keyword. When you're conducting keyword research for AdWords, we recommend you use the keyword setting called Phrase Match. This will give you an accurate sense for how many relevant phrases there are per month. Once you've compiled your list of keywords, the next step is to export that list into a spreadsheet, like Microsoft Excel, for example, and then start prioritizing your keyword opportunities. We recommend grading the different keywords based on several factors, including how relevant they are, how much search volume there is available, and the estimated cost per click to advertise on the keyword. But relevance is the most important factor when you're just starting out. You want to grade different keywords based on how clear the intent is of the person searching. You want to start by advertising on keywords where you're 100% confident the person searching that phrase would want to hire somebody like you. Those are the best keywords to start with, even if they're less frequently searched or a little more expensive. When you're just starting out, you don't want to be testing keywords where people are just doing research. You want to find the bullseye keywords where the prospect searching those keywords is ready to buy right now. Okay, you've got your keyword list, and it's time to move on to step 3. Step number 3, stand out from the competition. The third step is to differentiate your company from all of your competitors so that your ideal customer sees you as the best choice for them. During this step, you need to create a compelling answer to your prospect's question, why should I do business with you rather than your competitors? Your answer to this question is your unique selling proposition, or USP. With a solid USP, you'll get more clicks on your ads from qualified potential customers, and a greater percentage of website visitors will pick up the phone and contact you. On the other hand, if you don't have a USP, you'll fail to give customers a compelling reason to choose you, and so you'll attract fewer customers. So how do you create your unique selling proposition? First, focus on your core strengths. A great USP requires focus. You can't be all things to everybody. Ask yourself questions such as, what's your core competency? What are you better at than anybody else? What kind of work do you enjoy the most? And what type of customers do you really want to serve? Next, talk to your customers and, more importantly, listen to them. A great USP is built on customer insight. Ask your customers questions such as, why do you do business with us? What do you dislike about our industry? And what do you wish we could provide that we don't? And third, analyze your competitors and look for an opening. The most important word in unique selling proposition is unique. Many years ago, I heard the following advice about succeeding in business. You should spend 50% of your time studying your competitors and 50% of your time figuring out how to do a better job. I believe that's always the case, but it's especially critical when creating a USP. In order to create a really strong USP, you'll want to study your competitors' ads, websites, and marketing materials, and find your opportunity to stand out. The easiest way to do this is by searching in Google and look at what your competitors' Google AdWords ads are saying. I recommend you use a spreadsheet to organize all of your competitors' ads so you can more easily find the commonalities. As you're doing this, look for an opening to say something unique and superior. Finally, edit your USP into a single sentence so it's clear and concise. Then start testing your USP in your ad campaigns, on your website, and over the phone when talking to prospects to see if it resonates with your target customers. Now that you've created your USP, it's time to make your message irresistible to your ideal customer. Step number four, create your irresistible offer. One of the biggest challenges in advertising and marketing is getting people to respond, to take the action you want them to take. Your offer is going to further differentiate you from your competition and give you a huge advantage. Most importantly, it'll help you generate more leads and sales from your advertising. People are natural procrastinators. You need people to respond now rather than later, because later often means never. And so, anything you can do to give them an extra reason to take action now will make your advertising more effective and profitable. An irresistible offer consists of the following four components. First, your offer must be valuable. Your product or service must be more valuable than the price, and the value has to be clear to your potential customers. That doesn't mean your offer has to be cheap, however. Even Lexus dealers run special promotions from time to time. Second, you should have a reason for providing your offer. A reason for your offer eliminates skepticism and suspicion, which is always present when you make an offer that appears to be too good to be true. For example, if you're running a special sale, then you'd want to give a reason for why you're offering a discount. The reason could be anything: clearing out inventory, end of the year, celebrating an anniversary, opening a new store, your birthday, and so on. Third is risk reversal. Everyone is scared of getting ripped off, and this is especially true online. The most common risk reversal is the money-back guarantee, which puts all the risk on the business to deliver excellent service, or else they have to give all the money back to the customer. I strongly recommend that you offer some kind of guarantee in your business. And finally, fourth is your call to action. Every good salesperson knows you have to ask for the sale. This is true with your website as well. If you want people to pick up the phone and call you, then make it clear on your website that that's what you want people to do. Don't expect your prospects to connect the dots. Instead, you must connect the dots for them. There's a popular book about website usability best practices called Don't Make Me Think, and that pretty much sums up the best practices right there in four words. Don't make your prospects think about what to do. Instead, make it totally obvious what they should do and keep it simple. Now that you've created your USP and irresistible offer, it's time to communicate your message through your ads. Step number 5 is to create magnetic ads. If you create compelling ads, you'll get more clicks than your competitors. And that's important because the Google AdWords auction-based bidding system rewards you for writing great ads. If your ads get clicked more often than your competitors, you'll pay less per click and save money. Plus, by creating the right ads that communicate your USP and your irresistible offer, you'll attract the right customers and repel unqualified prospects. Okay, here's how to write magnetic ads. First, I recommend you think of advertising as a conversation between yourself and your customer, one-to-one. This concept comes from advertising man Robert Collier, who decades ago wrote that advertising should enter the conversation already taking place within your prospect's mind. So what's your potential customer already thinking about? What's the conversation you want to enter in your prospect's mind? Well, when your potential customer searches a keyword phrase into Google, it's like she's asking a question. She is looking for an answer to a particular question. And your ad is responding to that question, saying, "I can help you with that, and here's why I'm the best choice." So it's critical that you think of your advertising as though it's a conversation with your prospect. And that conversation goes from the keyword, to your ad, to your website, to when your prospect picks up the phone and calls. The conversation should be smooth all the way through those steps. And the type of words you use in your ad is also really important. In terms of writing style, I recommend you use conversational language. Don't use industry jargon. Avoid using long, sophisticated sounding words. Write like you'd speak to your prospect over the phone. Another reason to choose your words carefully is that you'll need to keep it brief. Google gives you a limited number of characters to work with, 25 characters for the headline, and 35 for each of the description lines. Here are a few more ad writing tips for you to remember. When possible, include your keyword in your ad's headline. This will typically increase the number of people who click on your ad because Google will bold the words that match the keyword searched. Next, remember to focus on your customer rather than you. Focus on the benefits that your services provide and communicate your unique selling proposition in your ad if possible. And finally, try to make an irresistible offer in your ad. I recommend writing ads in a spreadsheet, such as Microsoft Excel or Google Spreadsheets, because that makes it easier to measure the number of characters you have in each line of your ad. I typically write 5 or 10 ads and then pick a few that seem the most compelling to test first. Okay, so those are some ad writing best practices for you. And once you've written some ads, it's time to put the next step in place and turn those clicks into potential customers. Step number 6, turn clicks into customers. Now we've come to the real turning point of your ad campaign, making the phone ring. We're going to talk about generating leads, how to persuade prospects to do business with you instead of the other guys. To do this, you need to create a specific landing page for your campaign. Your landing page is the webpage where your potential customer lands after clicking on your ad. And this is where many advertisers screw up. They send their advertising clicks to their homepage, and that's a huge mistake. Here's why. Your homepage explains everything you do, and so it's not targeted to a specific visitor who is searching for a specific solution to their specific problem. And as you know, people are impatient online. If they don't find what they want within seconds, they're gone. Your landing page must give your prospect immediate reassurance that she's in the right place. Speak directly to the one specific issue your potential customer is dealing with. Explain how you can solve the problem and compel her to take action right now. Here are some simple best practices for creating landing pages that get the phone to ring. First, start with the end in mind. This is where most people go wrong. They're not clear on what they want website visitors to do. If you're not clear about what you want people to do, then how can you expect them to take action that you want them to take? Even if there are several things you want people to do, pick the most important one and make that the focus of your landing page. Just keep it simple. Next, make it really obvious what your potential customer should do. Here's what I mean by that. When you're designing the layout of your landing page, make sure you allocate proportionate space and attention to the action you want people to take. Seriously, make it extremely obvious what you want people to do. Don't leave any doubt in your website visitors' minds. If possible, put your call to action at the very top of the page so people can see it without having to scroll down. If you're not sure your landing page is obvious enough, try this simple test. Stand 5 to 10 feet away from your computer monitor and see if you can still immediately understand what you're supposed to do on your landing page. If not, then you need to redesign your landing page to make it even more obvious. Finally, persuade your customer to take action right now. If you want more people to do something on your website, you need to make a compelling case for why they should do it. Present your irresistible offer. Offer a solid guarantee to motivate people to take action, and in addition, display social proof in the form of testimonials, endorsements, and awards to make people more confident about doing business with you. I could go on and on with specific tips to improve landing page conversion rates, but you should start by keeping it simple. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Here are the three ingredients again. First, focus on the one thing you really want people to do. Second, make sure you're designing your page so it's really obvious what your prospect is supposed to do. And finally, give your prospect a good reason to take action right now. Okay, now it's time for one of the most important steps of all. Step number 7, track your success. One of the most famous quotes about advertising is from John Wanamaker, a pioneer of retail at the turn of the 20th century. He said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I don't know which half." And if you don't have the proper tracking in place, then there's no way to measure the return on investment from your AdWords campaign. Well, the good news is that today it's easy to know what's working and what's not working. Remember the Manhattan real estate company I mentioned earlier in this recording? When they came to us, they were spending thousands of dollars per month on advertising, but they didn't have proper tracking in place. So they didn't know what parts of their campaigns were profitable or unprofitable. And as it turns out, they were wasting about half of their money on unproductive advertising. But they had no idea until we put proper tracking in place. They had been spending $7,000 to $10,000 a month in Google AdWords for years without a clear idea of ROI. We helped them set up proper tracking so they could see which keywords were generating new customers and which keywords were simply losing money. With our help, they started investing more money in the keywords that were working, and they paused the keywords that weren't working. And we were able to improve their ROI without increasing their ad budget. Okay, so let's talk about how to track your return on investment from Google AdWords. If your sales all occur online with some sort of an e-commerce shopping cart, then tracking is pretty straightforward. Just use Google AdWords conversion tracking. The AdWords conversion tracking code can be found in your AdWords account, and all you or your webmaster have to do is add a small snippet of code to your order form thank you page or receipt page. Then when people complete an order form on your website, they'll land on the customer receipt page or thank you page, and Google will automatically track the conversions in your AdWords account. It's very simple and straightforward. But what if you have an offline sales process where you make the ultimate sale over the phone or in person rather than online? You may think it's difficult or impossible to track which ads are resulting in offline sales. However, it's not impossible at all. Here are three options for tracking your ROI even if you have an offline sales process. First, you can use what we call an artificial online sale. This tactic requires some basic understanding of how online sales conversion tracking works. So let's talk more about that. When a prospect clicks on your ad, then a cookie, a small text file, is saved on her computer. The cookie stores the information about which ad she clicked. Then, when she purchases a product, she eventually visits the thank you page or receipt page. The thank you page or receipt page has conversion code that reads the cookie and sends the information back to AdWords. So to track offline sales, we just need to artificially recreate an online sale. The customer already has the cookie on her computer because she clicked on an online ad. So we need to have her go to a web page that has conversion code on it, so it reads the cookie information and sends it back to AdWords. This may require a little bit of creativity in your sales process. If you're already asking customers to visit a particular web page after the sale is made, then it's pretty simple. For example, perhaps you have new customers create an account on your website or download an important document. You could have them do this by visiting a web page with conversion code on it. Simply add the conversion code to the web page your customer visits, and you're all set. Once the customer visits the page, she'll trigger the conversion code. And now you're tracking your offline sales. You can now get full transparency into your return on investment from AdWords. If that method simply won't work in your business, then don't worry. We have two more methods to go through. The second approach to tracking offline sales is to use coupon codes. You may be familiar with the concept of coupon codes and how they are used to track offline marketing campaigns. This same technique can be applied to online marketing as well. For example, if you're advertising an exclusive offer online, then you can display a different coupon code for each ad and source of traffic. So if you're advertising on hundreds of different keywords, then each keyword would have a different code to allow you to track sales back to the exact keyword. In order to take advantage of your offer, your customer has to give you the coupon code over the phone or in person. Then you can match the codes to the ads and sources of traffic. Pretty simple, right? And here's a third option that we strongly recommend. You can use trackable phone numbers. This tactic is simple. Use a different phone number for each ad and source of traffic that you want to track. For example, if you're running ads in Google Search and Bing Search, then you can use two different numbers for each search engine. Then when you get calls and sales from the Google number, you'll know for sure that the Google ads generated the sale. This works very well when you want to track large groups of ads. However, if you want to track calls down to the keyword level, then you'll find this can become too expensive because you would need hundreds of different phone numbers. Some of the top online call tracking companies have solved this problem by using dynamic phone numbers, which is a great solution depending on your needs. Here at Main Street ROI, one of the services we offer is call tracking, including a tool to make it easy to display different numbers for different sources of traffic. If you want more information about our call tracking solutions, email us at support@mainstreetroi.com. Okay, now that we've got tracking in place, it's time to set up your campaign and get your ads live. Step number 8 is to set up your campaign. This step is absolutely critical to get right, or else you can waste a ton of money. You see, there are several default AdWords settings that will waste your money, and I recommend you change them right away. For example, when you create a new AdWords campaign, by default, Google will display your ads in two places: on Google.com, when people are searching for keywords you specify, and also on Google's Display Network, where your ads will display on lots of other websites. For your initial campaign, you want to start with Google Search only. You can find that setting under the Settings tab. Make sure you select Search and turn the Display Network off for your initial campaign. You'll want to test advertising on the Display Network later, but initially, you'll only want to display ads on Google Search. Otherwise, you could waste a lot of money. There are also many other default AdWords settings you need to change before you go live with your campaign. Here's a rundown of our other recommended settings. First, keyword match type. A very common mistake that almost all new AdWords advertisers make is to set the keyword match type to broad. Broad match will give you the most traffic, but it will also show your ads on irrelevant keywords that will waste your advertising budget. For everyone who is not familiar with keyword match types, here's a quick primer. There are four match types: broad, modified broad, phrase, and exact. The match type of a keyword tells Google which keywords should trigger your ad to be displayed. For example, if all of your keywords are exact match, then you tell Google to only show your ad when the exact keyword is typed into Google. Phrase match keywords will trigger ads when the exact phrase is part of the keyword typed into Google. For example, if your phrase match keyword is office space, then your ad will display for New York office space and office space in New York. However, your ad would not display for office in space, because the phrase office space is broken up by the word in. Broad match keywords will trigger your ad for the exact match, the phrase match, and also for any other keyword that Google has determined is related. So as I said before, you'll get the most traffic with broad match, but you risk showing your ad to irrelevant traffic that Google thinks is related to your product or service. Modified broad match is a more advanced technique that tells Google to match your ads to any keyword with your exact words in any order. I typically recommend this when you're ready to expand and do not want to risk wasting money using regular broad match keywords. So the first thing you want to check is to make sure your keyword match type is not broad. I recommend starting with phrase match because you'll get the best of both worlds with regards to targeting and reach. However, with Phrase Match, you need to make sure you complete step number two. And step number two is to use negative keywords. Negative keywords are critical if you're going to use phrase or broad match keywords. If you add a negative keyword to your campaign or ad group, then Google will never show your ad when the negative keyword is present in the search phrase. For example, let's say you own a BMW dealership and you only sell new BMWs. In that case, you'd want to block your ads from appearing when people search in Google for used BMWs. Each of those clicks would be a waste of money because you're only selling new cars, not used cars. So make sure to add negative keywords so you block irrelevant clicks. A useful tool for finding negative keywords is Google's related searches on the left-hand side of the Google search results. Simply search for one of your keyword phrases, click the related searches, and then copy any keywords that are not related to your product or service. Next, let's talk about your initial cost per click bid. This is how much you're willing to pay per click. I get a lot of questions from customers and clients about what value to use for the initial cost per click bid. The best place to start is to use Google's keyword tool to get an estimated cost per click for each keyword and use this bid to start. The estimated cost per click is typically the most you would have to pay to be number one with a good ad. However, if your ad can get a better click-through rate compared to your competitors, then you should be able to get a much lower cost per click over time. Next is budget, how much you're willing to spend on a daily basis. There are two factors that determine your budget: how much money you have to test, and how many keywords you want to test. For your initial test, I recommend you run your ads for at least 10 days so you get some data for each day of the week. I say 10 rather than 7 because it typically takes a few days for the campaign to ramp up. So if your budget is $500 per month, then you should not spend more than $50 per day. Then if you max out your budget, you would pause your campaign, make any adjustments based on the test data, and then resume the following month. As long as your delivery method is set to standard, show ads evenly over time, Google will spread out your ad impressions over the entire day. This will ensure your ads don't stop displaying midday because you hit your budget. If you have a lot of keywords that you want to test, then you're either going to have to spend more time testing or spend more money each month because your cost is going to be spread out over so many keywords. I like to get at least 100 to 200 clicks on a keyword before I declare it a winner or a loser that I need to pause or delete. So that means I try to get at least 100 clicks for every keyword in the ad campaign. If you have a lot of keywords, then I suggest you trim your list for the initial test, and then you can always add more keywords later once your campaign is up and running. Okay, now let's talk about ads and ad rotation. How many ads you're going to test, and how you want them to be displayed. I recommend you start with at least 3 text ads. The reason to start with 3 is because it's impossible to know from the start which ad is going to generate the higher click-through rate. Since a high click-through rate will allow you to get a lower cost per click, you want to always be testing to improve your ad click-through rate. If you only start with 1 ad, then you're wasting an opportunity to test a different ad variation that could give you a higher click-through rate. Similar to keywords, you need to wait until you get a large enough sample size before you can determine an ad is a winner or a loser. In addition to click-through rate, you'll want to measure landing page conversion rates to determine which ad performs the best for your particular conversion goals. It's possible to have an ad that generates a high click-through rate but does not convert as well. So in that case, you would stick with the ad with the higher conversion rate. For that reason, I recommend initially setting your ad rotation to rotate show ads more evenly. This will rotate your ads equally between all of your ads and give you control to determine which ads are performing best. You can also tell Google to optimize for clicks or conversions, but when you're just starting out, I find it's best to manually pause and add new ads. This will force you to monitor and actually add new ads rather than rely on Google's optimization algorithm. The next setting is locations: country, city, state, and zip codes. This one is simple. Make sure you're targeting the correct locations. If your business only serves local customers, you'll want to focus your ads on your geographical area. For example, if you are a dentist in Manhattan, you'll only want to show your ads to people in and around New York City. If you serve an international audience, I highly recommend you start with one campaign targeting one country. Then once everything is working in one country, create a new campaign to test another country. This will allow you to tailor your ads for each country and easily show you how each country is performing separately. Okay, the last setting is devices. Desktop and laptop computers, mobile devices, and tablets. Unless you have a mobile optimized website, I recommend you start by targeting desktop and laptop computers and tablets with full browsers, and skip mobile traffic. Once your campaign is optimized for computers and tablets, then you can expand your reach by targeting mobile devices with a mobile optimized website. All right, those are the settings you need to be aware of. And now that you've got your campaign set up properly, it's time to go live with your ads. And step number 9 is to optimize your campaign. Now it's time to optimize your campaign so it's more profitable. Here are 3 main leverage points in any Google AdWords campaign. Leverage point number 1 is your bids. How much you are bidding for each keyword. Your goal is to find the optimal bid that will generate the maximum number of conversions at a target cost per conversion. First, you need to know your target cost per conversion. If you're selling a $100 product or service and you're comfortable making $20 per sale in profit, then your target cost per conversion would be $80. Next, you can calculate the maximum cost per click for any particular keyword, which is your conversion rate multiplied by the target cost per conversion that we just calculated. If you have a conversion rate of 2% and your target cost per conversion is $80, then you can pay up to $1.60 for every click. Armed with your max cost per click, you can now adjust your bids accordingly. Leverage point number 2 is your ads. How often your ads get clicked. By testing different ad copy, you can achieve a higher click-through rate. And with a higher click-through rate, you'll not only get more traffic, you can get big discounts on your cost per click. Optimizing ad copy is an ongoing, iterative process. At all times, you should have at least 2 different text ads rotating evenly so you can periodically check the stats and determine which ad is best. Then, when you pick a winner, add another ad to try to beat the best ad copy. Leverage point number 3 is your conversion rate. How many people contact you from your landing page? Most business owners think they need more traffic, but actually, conversion rate is even more important than traffic. Consider this. If you can double your conversion rate, you'll double your sales without increasing your traffic and without increasing your ad spend. Most businesses have tons of room to improve when it comes to landing page conversion rates, so this is a big leverage point. Like ad copy, landing page optimization is an ongoing iterative process. There are many tools to help you set up split tests, but if you're just starting out, I recommend you use Google Analytics Experiments, which was formerly known as Google's Website Optimizer. It's easy and free to get started. And here are a few ideas for what to test on your landing page to improve conversion rates. You can test different body copy. You can test adding different forms of social proof, including testimonials, endorsements, press mentions, and awards you may have received. You can test a new offer and different pricing. You can test including a strong guarantee or other forms of risk reversal. You can change the location and wording of your call to action. And you can test different photos or videos. If you're not sure where to start and/or you're overwhelmed by all of the options, a good place to start is your headline, because your headline is what either succeeds or fails in grabbing your prospect's attention. Okay, we've arrived at the final step. Step number 10, expand your campaign. Up to this point, we've just been talking about Google search engine advertising, and that's where most businesses should start out. But once you get your search engine advertising working for you, there's a lot of room to expand with Google. One way to expand your campaign is to start advertising on Google's display network. Remember earlier, when you were setting up your campaign, I said you should turn the display network off. Well, you should still keep it off for your initial campaign, which is a search-only campaign. You'll want to create a brand new campaign just for the display network because you'll optimize the 2 campaigns differently. With display advertising, you have many options. You can set up keyword-based text ads, image ads, and flash ads. The keywords you use will be matched to related websites on Google's display network. You can also set up placement-targeted text ads, image ads, and flash ads. These placements are simply websites that you specifically target on Google's display network. For example, you could target a specific YouTube page if you wanted to. And you can set up remarketing ads, also known as retargeting. Remarketing allows your ads to follow potential customers around as they're surfing the internet, so they'll continue to see your ad again and again until they become your customer. Not only is remarketing very targeted and affordable, it's also a very powerful method for building your brand image with potential prospects and staying top of mind. And finally, you can set up all of the above options targeting mobile devices to send traffic to a mobile optimized landing page. I'm not going to go into any more detail about these expansion opportunities because you should really put your focus on creating and optimizing your Google search advertising campaign. The main point for now, there is a lot of opportunity to expand once you have that working. And the best order is to start with search before expanding to the other networks within Google AdWords. Okay, I know we've covered a lot of material in a relatively short period of time. So I want to summarize the main points and give you some action items so you can get started and begin attracting new customers using Google AdWords. First, we talked about the benefits of advertising. The obvious reason to advertise is to attract new customers. But the best reason to advertise is to gain control over the flow of new customers to your business. When you have a successful advertising campaign delivering customers on a consistent basis, you'll have greater control over your business. Then, we talked about the benefits of advertising using Google AdWords. Search engine advertising is the most straightforward to get to work because people are already looking for what you offer. It's also really fast. You can start small for as little as $10 or $20 per day, and once you get it working, you can often depend on a campaign to keep working for a long period of time. And now let me just briefly recap the 10-step formula to create a profitable AdWords campaign from scratch. Step 1, plan to dominate. Step 2, identify your ideal customer. Step 3, create your unique selling proposition. Step 4, create your irresistible offer. Step 5, write magnetic ads. Step 6, create your landing pages. Step 7, set up proper tracking. Step 8, set up your campaign with all the right settings. Step 9, optimize your campaign. And step 10, expand your campaign to the display network, including retargeting as well as mobile ads. And that's the exact process we've used to create several million-dollar campaigns with Google AdWords. Just a couple more points to wrap up this training. I want to congratulate you for listening. You've taken a great first step just by taking this CD out of its case and listening to it. You're already ahead of most small business owners who will never take that first step. Also, I want to leave you with some final advice about how to get all of this done. Option number 1, you can manage your Google AdWords campaigns in-house. That means either doing it yourself or handing it off to an employee to do it for you. Or option number 2, you can hire an online marketing company to do it for you.
And if you'd like help with your AdWords campaign, we can help you. If you're just getting started with Google AdWords, we can set up your campaign for you. If you're already advertising, we can review your campaign and then give your campaign a one-time tune-up. And we can also provide ongoing Google AdWords management services. So if you'd like help with your Google AdWords, send an email to support@mainstreetroi.com.
Again, I want to congratulate you on taking the time out of your busy day to listen to this training. You've taken a very important step in the right direction, and we're here to help you along the way. I hope you found this training to be both interesting and useful to you. And now it's your turn. Take action and start attracting all the customers you deserve. Again, if you need any assistance or recommendations, you can contact us at support@mainstreetroi.com.